Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. And now, here's Rob.
It's a show unlike any other. Today, Mike, as you know, is having a elective plastic surgery. So it is me, your old buddy Rob, and I'm joined by a guy that I am pleased to call an associate and proud to call my friend. I'm a big fan. Dude Walker, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show.
You've broken the glass again. You broke and said that, get me somebody. Get dude.
You were the second choice. I want you to know.
That's better than ever. That's near top 10. That's fantastic. Hey, guys, nice to see you. Nice to hear you. Nice to be with you. It's been a while. When was the last time was it New Orleans that we were?
Could be. Yeah. I know we certainly had an extra guy on the show the last time you were here, so it's been a while.
That's true.
And dude is joining us from his home studio, your studio. Where is that? Is that in your home?
Yeah, it's in my home. I'm in Maryland. The background here is mostly just for visual effect. As a matter of fact, it's entirely.
When's the last time you've used a reel?
I honestly don't know if that works anymore. But when I put the studio together, analog was just going out, just starting to phase out.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure this new digital thing was going to work. So I said, I'll keep analog stuff just in case. And as it turns out, digital seems to be fine.
So far so good.
That thing back there is for you studio nerds is a Atari 5050. Atari 5050, and that at one time was kind of state-of-the-art for radio and TV stations recording audio.
I was actually trained on an Atari at school, so I'm familiar
there
with it.
There you go.
But I bet you're out of wax pencils and razor blades.
No, I don't have the wax pencils, but I do have, you see this thing up here? This is the little...
Right, the splice tape's what impresses me.
Here's the splice tapes. This is the... stuff that
that's great.
It probably,
because I started we were still using reel-to-reel tape. They had beautiful machines. And by the way, an early apology, this is gonna likely get very radio nerdy today, but there's a part of our audience that will very much enjoy that. When I started at WJFK, they had Studers that actually had scissors built into the playhead deck, so you could edit on the machine without a razor, and it sped things up incredibly.
And they probably charged $1,000 extra for that too. Studers were not inexpensive machines.
One of the saddest days of my life is when I saw WJFK throwing away 8 of them in perfect working order, and I had no place to put them in my home.
Yeah.
They're, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars. And I did take all the phones they threw away, though, and sold them on eBay.
Oh, that's good. So I know a lot of today we'll get very inside baseball, and some people like inside baseball, these little nerdy things. But it's where we lived, you and me and Mike, and I don't know what Oz's background is. Was any audio or any background?
Yeah, I feel bad. We jumped right into getting you connected. I didn't even introduce you guys.
Well,
Josh, this is Dude.
Yeah, we jumped right into troubleshooting and getting things working, which I think is more important.
I know that.
My background.
And so we do sort of apologize, folks, because we're not able to use the pristine audio quality that we normally get. What we were trying to do, and I'll show you, this is the microphone that I've been using. This is a Sennheiser microphone, and they call it a shotgun.
I thought it might be.
They call it a shotgun just because it looks like a shotgun.
Yeah.
But it kind of does the same job as a shotgun. It narrows the focus of the sound. So this is the sort of a state-of-the-art, state-of-the-industry microphone for voiceover people.
Is that uncommon for voiceover?
No.
Because normally you see them on... Really?
No.
Really?
The genesis of all that was that these were used, and they are still to this day, used on movie sets and TV sets.
Yes.
And if you ever go to watch a show being shot, you'll see the microphone sometimes actually, you know, do like this. Oh, God, they made a mistake.
Yes.
And they didn't do the headroom. You'll see the tip of that microphone. Usually they edit it out, but every once in a while you'll see it sneak through. And it's very good because it can pinpoint the person talking very easily as opposed to a microphone that hears the whole room. So so they wanted to emulate the same sound for the promo guys, the voiceover people, the people that go in a world. They wanted to sound as good as the people doing the acting. So that's why those microphones are there. Yep.
That is so cool. Did you travel with that? Because I know one time I got to engineer a session for you at Podville.
Yeah.
And had your own mic with you.
Sure. I wanted to match all the other things I've done audio-wise. Many people don't notice the difference, but I do. I can hear the difference, and you probably too, Rob. I travel with it. It's, you just put in a little case, and it goes through. Here's the thing you don't want to do, and I may have mentioned this in another podcast at one time. When you're going through security, don't mention the fact that you've got a shotgun microphone with you. It doesn't go over well.
Won't pick up on that. You know, I was when you were running back and forth, I was looking at the mic trying to figure out what model it was. This is the only thing I have that's comparable. It's an ancient Sennheiser.
Uh-huh.
This is a MK805, but it has a handle.
Oh, I like that.
It's barely working. So look for it on eBay soon. But yeah, I was guessing that it might be a Sennheiser.
And that's cool. When you're holding it with your hand like that, the very thing that the audio technician would do in a press conference. They'll just, who's talking now? And they move the thing around. Yeah. So yeah,
that's cool. I remember also when we were doing football coverage, they had a similar smaller mic in a parabolic dish.
Yeah.
When they were covering the sidelines of the NFL, you can still see them on TV, and it captures more of a scope of sound, but it is still directional. So you are in the suburbs of Baltimore. Where are you from, dude? Your studio?
Yeah, north of Baltimore, and I've been here for like 35 years now. This is built the studio.
Oh, you're right down the street from where I am now.
Yeah, because
I am now in the north of Baltimore visiting family.
Oh, great.
Josh is traveling the Great Eastern Seaboard. Yesterday you were in North Carolina, close to the border.
Halfway my drive up.
And how was your the second part of your journey to Baltimore?
All great until Northern Virginia, when
Thank
I remembered
you.
Why I left Annapolis, because I hate D.C. traffic. And it took me 2 hours to get from basically 395 to Camden Yards.
It's nasty. It is bad. I drove up from Miami a year and a half ago, and I did the math. 10% of my trip was Fredericksburg to home from Miami. The traffic was that bad. Yeah. So
I told you,
but you're
in
one piece.
Yep. I was going to come to Leesburg for a morning show, and I looked at what time I'd have to leave, and I'd have to leave at like 5:30 in the morning, and maybe I'd get there based on traffic. But if I go in the afternoon, it's an easy drive.
He said maybe lunch.
Yeah, I said, I'll come for lunch after the show. It'll cut my drive in half.
Did you make it to the game last night?
I did. I went straight to the game. Orioles won again.
Nice. Your lucky charm.
Yeah. I'm, three games in a row with wins, so I'm happy.
Love it. Love it. So, dude,
yes.
I would call you a treasure. I would say that you are a heritage jock and voice guy. But there are people who probably don't know your past. So before we get into it, I want to set people up so they know from whence you came. When I was growing up, I listened to Dude in the Morning on Q107, the Dude and Doug show.
Yep.
But before that, you were doing work at Q107, but just as a jock, right? You weren't brought on to do the morning show.
It was maybe 6 months of doing the night show, and this was during disco era too, 1979. So I was playing disco records and disco and rock. It was kind of a combination at the time. You know, Blondie was a good example of a disco rock record. You know, Heart of Glass was a rock, but disco. And so I was playing nighttime stuff. And the morning guy, I don't know, he washed out somehow. I forget what happened. And I said, hey, dude, how about morning?
I can't imagine a morning guy having trouble with anything.
Oh, we've all had ours. Yes. So
let's go back,
if
we can, to the 27th of April, 1979. I do believe this is one of your very first shifts there. We've talked about it in the past, and I've played this tape once before, but I think it really sort of sets the mood of what was going on in D.C. and national radio in 1979.
Music Radio, Q107. This is Dude Walker. I just got off the phone with a guy from Arlington, Virginia, telling me about a spring fair that's happening tomorrow at Tuckahoe Elementary School. If you're near that in Arlington, Virginia tomorrow, between 10 and 2, drop on by. There will be games and prizes and a cakewalk. Ha ha. and Q107 on the PA. Q107 and Dude Walker, it's 8:11. I didn't get to see Eric Clapton last night in concert, but I understand he appeared backless. Ugh.
Less commercial.
Here's your Blondie. You just mentioned it. Yeah.
Q107.
I love that because in the first three records, you're playing the Bee Gees, Eric Clapton, and Blondie. The charts were so diverse.
Oh, yeah.
I have to imagine that, I mean, for lack of a better word, radio had to be more fun when there was that much different style of music on the charts.
It really was. And so our audiences were more fun, too, because you're bringing in from people who might like a little country, a little rhythm and blues. And,
sure.
And I really did enjoy the audiences. You go to a live event and you didn't know what you were going to see. Now you're a jock. You know what your audience is. You've winnowed them down to like a very specific demographic.
Yeah, and very specific. I mean, at that time, I believe there were like five top 40 stations in Washington, D.C.
Of a various
and
kind.
The competition
Donnie Simpson was in his early days when I was on. I met
Donnie. But still at number one.
Yeah, he started at number one and then went up from there. It was great. I love Donnie. And but Elliot and Woodside were against us over at WPGC. And
right.
Who else did we get? And DC 101 had, I don't think Greaseman was there yet, or Howard Stern.
Could it have been Stern at that point?
It could have been. I mean, just think of the people that were in Washington, yeah. D.C., and that's just D.C.
Crazy.
You know? It was a very
and of course Harden and Weaver.
Yeah, and those damn guys won.
I know. That's when AM radio could still win. They were a juggernaut. Juggernaut. So the other thing I want to bring up in your top 40 history, and I have a point I'm making here. Trust me, you are of all the people, and I'm proud to call you my friend. I don't know if you would call me a friend, but I call you a friend because it makes me feel better. You are, of all the people I know, the most Elvis-adjacent person I've ever met because you worked...
WHBQ Memphis.
You worked at WHBQ in Memphis, which is not only the first station to have played Elvis Presley, but you knew George Klein, right? Who was a close friend of Elvis.
I knew George Klein. I worked for George Klein, actually, because he became the program director after the program director who hired me went away on postal theft charges. But that's a whole nother story.
You're kidding.
This could go on forever. But it was...
We have the best people.
My program director, I didn't want to go off onto this whole tangent since you brought it up.
Yeah,
he got arrested for I don't know what it's called, postal, what a kind of basically he was stealing diaries out of the mail and putting in WHBQ and sending into the rating service.
And people who are listening, not in the business, that's not legal on any level.
That's bad in so many ways. But the mailman used to come in and just kind of hang in the guy's office. I thought, oh, that's nice. And he's friendly with Mr. Mailman. And I didn't know business was being done in that office, literally. So anyway, yes, let's get back to George. George Klein. I've gotten to the age now where every story leads to another story. There's no just nice.
That's a wonderful thing. And for people who are listening, they should know Elvis, I believe, was the best man at George Klein's wedding.
Exactly.
So he was one of the guys that hung out at Graceland.
Mm-hmm.
He's written books.
Yep.
And at least in the city of Memphis and later on the Elvis XM Sirius station,
yeah.
Very legendary broadcaster because he was in the right place.
He was a wonderful man. He was very nice to me, and he'd have an Elvis story for anybody who wanted to hear about it, you know. And I think sometimes I could see him thinking, I'm only really important in this town because I know Elvis. But he was also a very nice guy and a good jock in his own regard. So, but it was a fun time to be in Memphis.
That's so cool.
Yeah. You know, one of the reasons I went to Memphis was because of the fact that radio station had played Elvis. The other station that tried to hire me was in Nashville, and the program director there was Scott Shannon. So Scott Shannon.
Oh, my gosh. Young Shannon.
Scott Shannon. He almost had a chance to have Dude on his staff in Nashville, but Memphis offered me, you know, $10 more a week, and the fact that I get to have legacy call letters, WHBQ.
I would love to have a tape of that phone call. Hello, Tom.
Yeah.
Listen, we can only go this high on your salary.
It's like you were there. It's exactly the way it was. And but, you know, it things worked out for both of us, me and Scott.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But you're here today, and that is my favorite part. I don't know that I would be comfortable co-hosting with Scott Shannon. It might look like a Walking Dead episode.
Yeah,
so I'll stay away from
that. Odd, yeah.
Okay, so you went, you know, you did your DJ duties in different cities, and when did you start exclusively as a voiceover guy?
Exclusively, I would imagine it was the mid 80s, probably 86 or so, 87.
Mm-hmm.
Being a jock, it had the problems with being a jock are that you do get anywhere, you have to go somewhere. And I was going,
yeah.
I lost my first marriage because of it. You know, I started off in Connecticut and my career took me into Maine, Connecticut, down to Memphis and up to Cleveland and over to Boston and then down to D.C. All these take a toll on your personal life. And,
sure.
And unless you've got a strong, I don't know, I didn't have the ability to say no to lots of temptations. So things were, and radio will, you got a temptation, radio will feed it. So
that's
what was happening. So luckily, Steve Kingston, who became a program director of a legendary station in New York, Z100, he was kind of a mentor for me. He was at WPGC in D.C. When I met him, and we just got along really well. And he kind of helped me realize that maybe being a DJ wasn't what I wanted to be or what I should be. So he said, you know, do some what they called them, liners and sweepers, those little things that's at the beginning, you know what they sound like. So he had me do them for Z100. He had me do them for his friend out in Chicago.
I didn't realize you were the voice on Z100 for a while.
Not the voice. He would use a lot of voices,
voice.
But there was a time when there was maybe 6 months of it when I was going from the top of the Empire State Building, Z100,
all that
stuff. So I was one of many voices he would use anybody who walked in the door.
I know he legendarily used Ernie Anderson.
Oh,
the late Ernie Anderson.
Sure. Yeah, well,
who would say, you know, on the Love Boat.
Yeah, well, it was an honor to be on that radio station. It was one of those stations that had gone with zero ratings and to number one in, I guess, 2 months or something. It was an amazing success story. Anyway, Steve Kingston mentored me to get into voiceovers and that's where it's gone from. They kind of changed from being radio-centric to being more TV stuff and more, you know, narration for industrial films and all that kind of stuff.
Do you remember your first one that really sort of excited you to do? Your first voiceover gig that was a non-jock one?
Oh, that's a good one. Well, you mean not? Well, I love being on Channel 5 in D.C. That was lots of fun. Because there was so much live TV going on those days. Maury Povich had a show then in D.C. Was it Panorama? Was that the name of the show?
It was called Panorama. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so guests would come in all the time. And I was going to the booth in the back, and I was rubbing shoulders with anybody who was on his show. And
that is so cool.
And it was fun. My booth looked down over the great big sound stage, you know, because it was a legendary TV station, probably from the 50s. I mean, I think it was a Dumont station or something like that at one time.
I believe you're right. But it was built for television.
Yeah,
so that at the one time it was very state of the art.
Yeah.
They've obviously updated since then.
Yeah. But they had things that looked like a Hollywood soundstage, great big sets. And because cameras were big and lighting was big.
Yeah.
So everything was bigger then. And it was fun to sit there and be at a TV. So I guess I was excited to hear. Oh, most excited I got was when I realized I could record stuff here at home and then hear it.
Big deal, right?
You know,
yeah.
And I was like, I never had to go anywhere. I can just go upstairs and listen to myself, what I did in the basement. It's kind of cool.
I remember it was when we started, we brought you in to the Don and Mike show, gosh, probably in 93 or four.
Mm-hmm.
And because the station voice, they'd gone to a younger, hipper voice that we didn't like. Sort of one of these guys, you know, WJFK. We didn't want that. We wanted the big voice. We liked the classic, wonderful big voice of Dude Walker. And when we started, you were still mailing out reels.
Yeah.
And then there was the ISDN line, which is crazy technology that no longer exists, where they would split the audio signal, the phone company would, into a low band, a treble band, and a mid-range band. And these two machines would talk using three phone lines, and you'd receive something nearly broadcast quality.
Yeah, it was.
And
it was,
so then once we realized we could do that, that's when we started recording your sessions live on the air, which was a blast.
What do you remember the name of the gentleman? And I think he was in Philadelphia that was doing the voiceovers for the radio station for WAVA. And
I think he was based at YSP. Was it Paul Turner?
There you go. It was Paul Turner. And okay. What happened? The FCC.
Another big voice.
He's a great guy. I liked him a lot. He did a lot of work. Apparently, Paul had some problems. I don't know if he was a Christian or just very straight laced, but he did not want to say Geronimo wanted him to say, which the FCC allowed certain swearing to be up. He used to not be able to say, God damn it. But somehow the FCC let that go. So Geronimo goes, I want someone to say, God damn it, on my show. And I guess Paul Turner said, he's not going to be me. They got on the air. I'm not saying they. Geronimo got on the air and said, we need a new voice guy. And so my sister-in-law calls up and says, hey, I was listening to, Don and Mike. And they, so I said, all right. And so Geronimo goes, I know, dude, because we had met before.
Yeah.
And so that's how that happened.
That I never knew that story that you really owe your sister-in-law for all the free work you've ever done.
all the free work. That's true. Well, that is the funny thing.
In the old days, we did pay you.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons that, dude, and also I should say that the first time I had to connect with you and send you copy, I was out of my mind because I had listened to you for so long. And as a matter of fact, on our college station, many years ago, one of our, I guess it was our general manager, worked at another radio station and found a cut of tape of you saying, listen and win. And it was just your voice saying, listen and win. And he built our 50 break. We had to play it every hour at 50 past the hour.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, psh, 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 listen and listen and win, which was stupid because no one was listening and no one was winning. But I played that tape so many times, and later on when we were in the days of COVID, they were actually letting alumni do shifts for the college station, and I submitted my tape, and it got played, but dude did cut me a listen and win 50 break that I was able to play on WVCW, which is so cool. When we were fired from CBS, dude was the first person to call me and offer his support, and he has been there ever since. And if you want to make a list of friends of the Mike O'Mara Show, dude's in the first five slots. So I never get a chance to really thank you in front of everybody. So thank you for all you've done for us.
Yeah,
you're key to the sound of our show.
I know how painful it is when you do get fired, and usually it's for reasons that had nothing to do with your performance. But it still helps to have someone say, hey, if I can do anything for you. I almost felt that it can be a very cruel business at the end of it. If you can somehow smooth it over for people, go ahead. It'll come back to you. And people have been nice to me when I've lost gigs and stuff.
It always meant the world to me. So I did want to tell you that. But dude has been with us since the Don and Mike show, through the Mike O'Mara show on Terrestrial, and from the podcast as well. His voice is really part of the fabric of the show. And I love the fact that you can help me out with anything. Mike used to say that if Rob really wants a feature to work, he'll call dude. And so, whether it was yodeling week or polka week or anything, you were always good enough to do that. We're going to take a short break because what I'm going to get into next, we're going to postpone news for one break. Is kind of intense that requires not intense intensive a look at what it's like to be a DJ and something you did that I think is pretty fantastic. So we're gonna step away and come back. Radio people rejoice. We have Dude Walker in his studio. I like to say in the studio or in our studio, but you're in your studio. And he's hanging out with his Otari and having a great time. So stick around, folks. We come back. We got news. We have a flip side and much more Dude Walker right here on the Mike O'Mara Show, who indeed will be back tomorrow.
It's a trip back in time.
Groovy, man.
Not that far back.
It's so tubular and rad.
Not even close.
What is it?
It's TMOS Classic.
Are you telling me you built a time machine?
No, I didn't. But it's a look back at some of the funniest moments ever from the Mike O'Mara Show.
What is it?
TMOS Classic. Friday Flashback.
Catch it this Friday.
I'll be back in time.
He's everywhere, that Dude Walker. He's in the Friday Flashback. Do check that out. That's Friday on our regular feed. Old classic stuff that has not been in best of in years, and you will love it. My laundry detergent, dude, used to come in a big, stupid jug, and I hate stupid jugs. Oh. And the smell was kind of, ugh. That's why I have switched to Laundry Sauce. Now, Laundry Sauce is partnered with one of the top fragrance houses in the world, and it smells amazing. My favorite scent is sandalwood. And now, I don't know if it's because we're so alike, Frank Sinatra also loved the scent of sandalwood, and the comparison doesn't end there. But Mike, he likes Siberian pine. No matter what you order, you're going to love. My whole house right now smells like Laundry Sauce, probably because I'm wearing this shirt and the scent is going up into my head. I'm walking around and I smell wonderful. It is sensational. They've also maximized hardworking stain fighters to ensure your favorite clothes come out looking brand new. And it's not just laundry pods. Laundry Sauce makes scent boosters, dryer sheets, dryer balls, fabric softeners, and even candles. Plus, if you aren't happy, send your Laundry Sauce back for a full refund. No questions asked. Elevate your laundry with Laundry Sauce. Now is the time to check it out. Just head to laundrysauce.com/TMOS. Use the promo code TMOS at checkout and you get 15% off. You can't beat it. That's the best offer you'll find, but you got to use our code TMOS for 15% off your order. One last time, that's laundrysauce.com/TMOS, promo code TMOS for 15% off. One thing I did want to ask you is, in addition to doing film trailers and radio work and TV work, sometimes you call me and you say, I'm going to be in town, and you say, I've got another Voice of God gig. Mm-hmm. When you're in a convention center or something, can you talk a little bit about those? Because those have got to be fun.
And that's not just me saying I am the voice of God. That's what they actually call up and say, we need you to be. Sometimes they just say VOG or VOG. Can you be the VOG? Now we've gotten it down to initials. It just means that guy that you always hear at conventions or big things, I have a specific voice that I do for it. You know, it's usually, ladies and gentlemen, our program is going to begin in 5 minutes. Please turn off all electronic devices. Thank you. And that's...
Oh, I love it. I can hear that echoing through a convention hall. Talk slower probably because of the echo, right?
It depends on what they need. But that's usually the kind of thing. So I've done a lot of those kind of big conventions, many of them in D.C., and I love it because I love a live show. I really enjoy it. I like the feeling of it. There's just always a chance that something can go wrong, and that's sometimes that's even more fun because everybody's jumping, and of course you're hearing all the direction in your headphones. You know, you've got a headphone.
Uh-huh.
Okay, announcer, go in 3, 2, 1, and all these kinds of things, that lighting is being yelled at and somebody's getting, the curtain fell down. And I just love that stuff. That to me, that's more fun than doing all this recorded stuff where you can keep fixing it.
Yeah. I love having you live at our live shows.
Yeah.
To have you literally at a podium on stage with us, like it's a radio show from 1930.
Yeah, you're right.
It is so much fun. Yeah. It is so cool to have an announcer at your disposal. but while we're talking about other things you do, whether it be TV, film, or radio, you were kind enough to send me one of your current demos, which I scoped down a little bit. I want people to hear, when you're searching for a job, the demo you sent out is some of the versions of voices that you use when you're trying to get a gig.
In small towns and large cities, dedicated people are revitalizing old structures.
April 14, 1970, rookie astronauts Fred Hayes and Jack Swigert and Commander Jim Lovell, a veteran of 3 NASA missions, are 2 days into the 3rd moon landing attempt on Apollo 13. This May,
elite thoroughbreds congregate in Kentucky, and their only goal is victory at Valhalla. The Masters, coming in April to ESPN.
Oh, I could listen to it all day. So cool. Any of those? The Masters has got to be one of your one of the biggest ones you've done. That's sensational.
You know, it's the ones that are big don't necessarily pay the biggest, but you know, as far as an audience, you know, I've done stuff on HBO, and so you know, I guess millions have heard me. Millions have not been paid, but millions have heard me. So, yeah, it's really cool.
Well, Mike wanted me to ask you: do you do a W.H. Mason spot that he would hear during Red Sox games?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool! Yeah. That is you.
I think that was an over the top sort of sound. I forget what. I guess I'm very lucky in that I can do many different kinds or styles of voices.
Yeah.
I can't obviously sound like somebody who's 25, but sometimes I can do that W.H. Mason. If I recall, it sounds like the 1920s or something. W.H. Mason.
Oh, really?
Something. Blah blah blah. Why not? You know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
One of my favorites that you've ever done, you did, it was a patriotic read about the American flag.
Yeah.
And that is one of your better, I don't have it. I wish I had. It just occurred to me.
Yeah.
Is that on, I'm sure you could find it on YouTube, right?
I guess so. If I was better organized, I'd push everybody to my YouTube page, but it's so discombobulated. I need help with that. Somebody should.
Well, just everybody post to Dude's page. He'll send out the password.
And
if you have anything
I'll
never
see
it.
You know, just so much going on with all things that I have to take care of. I wear many hats. And wait. Speaking of wearing many hats.
Oh, yes. Here's your hat.
Here's my hat. Guy sent me this.
That's I love it.
Dude coffee. But anyway, where were we? I've lost my place.
We were going to. You recently did, and I'm not upset that you did another podcast. I'm okay with that. You did another podcast, a music podcast. Can you tell me a couple words about that?
Just so you know, I think every month since podcasts were invented, I get a call or an email saying, "Would you do a couple of lines for our podcast? Blah blah blah. How much would you charge?" Mm-hmm. That? And I made it a policy very early on to not say, "I'm sorry, I'm exclusive to Mike O'Mara."
Oh, that's great.
And and I pretty much have. I don't think I've done anything else. But this one was not wanting me to do work for them. They wanted me to be a guest. So that's why I made the exception to this one you're about to speak of.
And what's it called?
This one's called Voices of Vinyl. And I only knew this guy tangentially. He had hired me to do some work for an insurance. I forget what the deal was. But anyway, he's since semi-retired. He's in Florida. And he just started his labor of love was to start his own little podcast about vinyl records and big bands. And just, I guess he's just all over the place. Nice guy.
Right up my alley.
Yeah.
And I love what you did. I think he asked you for your favorite songs and you countered with the idea, going back to your DJ days.
Yeah. I mean, he's hired
favorite songs to talk up.
He's used people on his show or interviewed people on his show that are musicians or studio engineers and I think a couple of other DJs and stuff. And one of the things he does in order to fill the hour is to ask, you know, what's your 10 favorite songs? And he asked me the same. And I just got to as a DJ, I can't name 10 favorite Beatles songs. It was just too big of a universe of names. So I decided, and I told him, what I'm going to do as a DJ, my favorite intros and the beginning of songs that before the vocal begins. And that's where we lived as disc jockeys. Everything was done over the intro of a song. Rarely would you hear what we're hearing now, just cold voice. The audience didn't like it because there was no music going on, and the program director didn't like it because somebody was going to be pushing the button because that guy's talking too much. So we had to spend our lives doing anything, the weather forecast, the upcoming promotion for whatever we were going to be doing that weekend all those things had to be done.
Not a wasted second. There's not a wasted second.
They had to be done
and
over
intros. That's something that... As a disc jockey, and I fool around with it when I do a Rob Radio show, it makes it almost like a game. you have to fit everything in X number of seconds. Yep. And if you go 1 second too long, it looks and sounds horrible.
Yeah.
And so dude did this, and I enjoyed it so much. I want to share it with you. These are a few of the intros that dude did over the records that he said are his favorite intros. And of course, great sense of humor, great timing, and oh, the voice.
All right, now our first real intro. Let me take you back to the summer of 1972. If you're in central Maine and listening to AM radio, you might have heard something like this.
3 o'clock at WSKW, AM 1150, Skowhegan, Waterville. My name is Tom Collins.
Well, that's right. It was my name back then. I forgot. I hadn't changed it to Dude Walker yet. Anyway,
my name is Tom Collins, and I bring you music. Let's get started with this week's most requested song, Raspberries.
Now, did you work at that station? Are those real call letters?
Yeah. Why would I make those up? Yeah, that's.
I have no idea. I'm just checking.
I actually.
But that is a great. That's a great one. High energy, great top of the hour record.
WSKW
and a long intro,
is
right?
Right in the middle of Maine. It's probably a beautiful time to be there right now, and the rest of the year not so much. It's cold in Maine, but I got my chops done.
I'm doing
radio there.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Let's hear this next one here. I think you pay off this one.
Go All the Way from the Raspberries, featuring the singing of the late, great Eric Carmen. You know, some songs, their intros are instantly recognizable within a note or two. For instance, this. Yeah. This is one of those that just makes you want to reach over and grab that volume and crank it all the way up. You know, it could be argued that the Rolling Stones had about a dozen great intros. I mean, there's Jumpin' Jack Flash, there's Satisfaction, that goes on and on. But this is my favorite, Brown Sugar. Ooh, and that final drum beat, I love it. Brown.
Now, when you strapped on the headphones and did these, was it a blast? Was it weird? Had it been a while since you'd done it?
It was, and it was strange that I kind of wrote them down a little bit, and it came back to me how I used to be on the air, because you don't have time to write everything out. You've got to.
No, not at all.
And
I'm curious,
went, oh,
do
I,
you let the, I'm sorry to interrupt, because I get excited.
Yeah, no.
I'm wondering, do you let the tempo of the record sort of reflect your presentation over that intro?
Yeah, you try very much, and that's usually many times when you can tell that somebody is not really live there with the music in their headphones, because you're not hearing them blend and tempo with the songs. Yeah, you get very excited when you hear a Rolling Stones song, and then you've got a nice slow whatever intro. You can kind of lean into it a different way. Yeah,
it's fun, and there's the little mini things that you can hit within the intro.
Yeah.
Which I believe we hear in this one.
Sugar, the Rolling Stones. All right, let's keep rocking. One of the reasons we love intros is because it is where our station business got done. Things like the forecast. Hey, it's 32 degrees, going up to high of 55 today. Hey, don't forget to listen tomorrow morning to Captain Wacky in the Morning Zoo. He's got the phony phone call and so much more for you. But right now, since the sun is shining, let's make...
I almost fell out of my chair. Loved that one so much. That was great. And then let's keep rolling. Great song.
All right, let's crank it back up. Here's another great song for doing station business. Like, for instance, you want to get the request line going. You go, hey, give me a call on the request line for your favorite song, 432-WHBQ. And I got one request for you. Just stay with me.
One more here.
Hey, here's another great intro. Oh, I just love the way this one builds. Just one little instrument at a time. And it's a great example of what the Philly sound was all about in the 70s. Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes and The Love I Lost.
Beautiful. Now, these are songs that really could play on the same playlist at the same time.
Yeah.
And the only thing, because Stay With Me is not Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes at all.
No.
So it's up to the jock to sort of make that tapestry work. And you can do it with, you know, your jokes or your different tempos of talking, but it's one of the true skills. And I love hearing that on this, because you're really making a very diverse playlist work.
Well, they were fun because lots of times we would do things for the other jocks. You know, the only feedback we get about what a great intro, right. If you just did a great thing over an intro, you're not going to get someone calls and go, hey, I like the thing you did about, hey, that was funny. But at least, you know, you get the thumbs up in the hallway from the jock that's coming on after you. So sometimes all you really want is some peer reviews and people who say you're cool.
Now, when you talked about working the phones there, that's a science that is absolutely gone. And we actually have a story about it that we may or may not get to, that people hate using phones now. Hmm. Now they text. Now they email.
Yeah.
What was it like working the phones when it would be, you know, and I still remember the number, 432-1073, when people would just, the calls would be constant, wouldn't they?
The calls would be constant because, of course, we were their only outlet for getting the song they wanted to hear. Unless they bought it themselves, they were going to have to call up and request their song. And now you can hear them wherever you want, anytime you want.
Right.
DJs are kind of dispensable. They're not needed anymore. But I got a shout out to Don Geronimo, one of the best I ever heard for using what they called phoners. The guy could take, he would basically, while the song was playing, he'd be over there answering the phone and recording whatever was going on. And then maybe it was too long of a conversation, he'd have to cut it down and he would put it back over the next song that he was playing. He was incredibly good. So I was never that good at that. But, just being able to record. You wonder what DJs are doing when a song is playing. They're probably over there recording stuff or getting their commercials ready or I don't know, having a cigarette somewhere. Yeah. But
it is a busy job. When you're running, when you're actually running a real radio show, it's busy because it's just you.
Yep.
If it's not a union shop, you're engineering, you're stacking, you're doing live tags and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I applaud all of that. Let's finish up this. These intros are too good.
Well, we've reached just about the end of my intros, and I've chosen for the last intro a song with no intro at all. It's what they call a cold open. It starts with just the vocal. But the outro of this song, it never fails to bring a lump to my throat or a tear to my eyes. It sounds like a wonderful movie has just come to an end. The Beatles.
The long and winding road.
The Beatles and the long and winding road. I always felt that the end of that, Paul McCartney's Yeah, 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 was sort of a reference to their early years when it was Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. Kind of bookends, you know what I mean?
How dare you pick up a Beatles thing that I never thought of? That is so clever. Yeah. I never even thought about that, but that is so true. So as far as disc jockeys go, I applaud you. Marvelous. And it's just so good that you shared that to let people know the way the voice can be used, as important as a tool in radio as the music. I think it's just fun.
Well, thank you, Rob. I've been thoroughly embarrassed this entire time by all the things you've said.
Well, make sure, if you would, Josh, make sure you just show Dude's face, a tight close-up of Dude's face the whole time we're making him listen to
playing
himself.
His clips.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's what I'm sitting here quiet because I know there's no way to interject and jump in front of Rob on anything in this segment. That it is that you are excited.
I am excited. And
that's
you know
great.
What? It's I'm getting happy. I know it's not the prime directive, but I am getting happy. We're going to take a break and then we're going to do some news and get I will call it Dude's Take. It was called the homepage, but today will be Dude's Take and coming back with news on the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike is back tomorrow and legendary voice Dude Walker sitting in with feeble voice Rob Speedway. Legacy Box. This I love. Just think of all the time and money your family invested to capture family vacations, football games, birthdays, even your wedding. Or in Mike's case, weddings. Camcorders cost thousands of dollars. Tapes were so expensive, and cameras required film. Development was expensive. Legacy Box exists to preserve your family's recorded moments. It's the simple and safe solution for digitizing all your memories. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS and you can enjoy an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Legacy Box digitizes over 15 different types of analog media, so whatever you've got, they got you covered. I've got digitizations of my kids, my relatives, people who are no longer with us, and to see them and hear them again is sensational, and it's comforting to know that it will live on forever. You owe it to your family to safeguard your memories. Don't let your photos continue to fade. Become a hero, dude. Be a hero and save them before it's too late. Buy a Legacy Box today. Visit legacybox.com/TMOS to shop this exclusive offer at legacybox.com/TMOS. Here's our new news sounder. Not all that new. Sort of old, really. Dude, as a guy who has spent a lot of his career here in the D.C. area, you may relate to this. WHFS, a legendary radio station, has announced the lineup for their HF Festival, which is coming back after years of being dormant. Oh. For those of you around the nation, WHFS was a great alternative rock station. They invented the phrase modern rock, and the HF Festival was a huge deal. I've been to a couple of them. It used to be, I think I went to FedEx Field for one. There was one at RFK. I think they did one in Baltimore, didn't they, Josh?
I don't remember one in Baltimore. I'm more familiar with RFK. And did they do the one, maybe Nissan Pavilion once?
Maybe. This time they're doing it at Nationals Park, and they're calling it One Day, One Stage. And it's so great to see so many mediocre bands at
the lineup's
price.
Really confusing when you see HF Festival at the top of it.
It says HF Festival, the Postal Service. I'm reasonably hip. I've not heard of them. Death Cab for Cutie. I've heard of them.
Yep.
Incubus, Bush, Garbage, Jimmy Eat World, Girl Talk, Violent Femmes, Tonic, Filter, and Lit. Now, how much would you pay? Dude, how much would you pay for a ticket to go see all those bands in one day?
That's a very eclectic mix of, but I guess they probably have a basic theme. You know, they probably all have a drummer.
There's no theme.
No theme?
the theme, you would think the theme would be, let's get the 40-year-olds who went to original HF festivals, let's get the bands that they liked back then and make it a reunion type thing. But there's a few bands on there that qualify there, but then it's also very expensive for that lineup.
Did you want to make a guess for a general admission ticket, dude?
Jeez, I haven't been to anything with general admission forever. Probably 75.
Well, you can guess the pit price then.
I'm going to say 75. Oh, God. 75. What is it?
$150. Ooh. It's $150 to $250 for general admission. VIP tickets are $475. And I don't know why they're doing this. They're selling the tickets in a lottery system. So you're not even guaranteed a ticket. You have to be chosen to buy a ticket. Now, keep in mind, this is an event steeped in heritage. They had Tony Bennett. They had the Foo Fighters. I saw the Stone Temple Pilots. They were fantastic. But people are no longer scheduling their summer tours around Washington, D.C. so they can play the HF Festival. I don't know how make no mistake, this is a total CBS thing because they own the name and all that. I don't know how successful this is going to be. I wouldn't go, not even with comp tickets. So we'll see. It's a good news. For everybody, I guess.
I think they planned it with the name, the stadium, the ticket price, and the lottery system, and then they filled in bands after the fact.
Yeah,
that could be. It could be. Like most WJFK promotions. Right. Oh, yeah, we have to have music, too.
They thought just saying HF Festival would get everyone back.
It ain't bringing me there. No. And my wife, not either. So, you know, and Carrie goes to every concert. So, good luck to them. This is sad. Joey Chestnut. He's a professional eater. We've had him on the show. He has won 16 times the Nathan's Hot Dog Contest on the 4th of July at Coney Island.
So he's coming up. Is he going to do another one? Has he got one coming up?
He can't.
Why?
He's been banned because he has a contract endorsing Impossible Hot Dogs, the meatless hot dog.
Oh, the meatless hot dog. Yeah.
And, And then Nathan's is saying that they can't have anyone that has an endorsement outside of Nathan's. Now, I don't even see a meatless hot dog as a competitor to Nathan's because,
is he going to eat the meat? Is he going to go somewhere else and eat a meatless hot dog?
I don't know, but he has been excluded after 19 years, and he says he's brokenhearted. And I like that there was a statement from the MLE, which is the Major League Eaters Association. So he will not be competing this year, and I think it's a mistake for Nathan's. He's the only reason people watch. You can't name another competitive eater, can you?
No.
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 Not since Mike is on the injection.
But Impossible needs to set up a YouTube stream or something of him eating their hot dogs on the 4th.
Okay.
Yeah.
They need to do something in response.
Yeah. But so don't tune in on the 4th of July and expect to see Joey Chestnut. Instead, do what I do. Just watch 1776 on Turner Classic Movies. Dude, this is sad. And Josh, I want your take on this too. NBC, in an effort to cut budget, says Seth Meyers can no longer have a band.
A band
show, a band.
What?
I can't believe.
What did he have? I never watched Seth. I mean, I watched.
He has a small band that plays a live band.
Huh.
But I always felt that the band was as much a part of a late night show. You know, the host. I mean, you go back to Doc Severinsen and Johnny, and I would look at those tapes of those old shows, and I'm like, I can't believe we got that music free in our house every night. That was a killer band. Paul Schaefer, excellent band. And, you know, even on the James Corden show, they've got live music as well. So I'm curious, you know, is this going to be the new trend in cutting budgets? Have we lost Dude?
We have lost Dude. I don't know if his iPad died or something, so I'm sure he'll come back.
I'm sure he will. But about music, also, what do you think?
It's a money thing. They're going to replace him with a DJ. That's one salary versus six salaries.
I know, but it's sad. I mean, DJ. I guess what? Ellen was the first one to have a DJ?
I don't know. But I will say, I didn't even know Seth Meyers still had a show.
Oh, no, it's very, very late.
It's been a long time since I've been up that late, apparently.
Yeah.
At least with the TV on. There's other things after midnight now.
I don't think that there are many you know, people that really do stay up for late night, because late night is just a sort of a clearing ground for social clips that they're going to post the next day.
Well, I feel even Jimmy Fallon and the 11:30 late night shows, it's the same thing. It's clips. Even SNL has became clips for social media.
Yeah. And Cameron High Pro Cam in the chat room mentioned something that I was going to say, which is that the Seth Meyers band was actually formed by Fred Armisen from Saturday Night Live originally, and they worked that out. So we're sorry to see that go. I love hearing live music on television, and that's the thing that is going away. Where's my swoosh? There it is. Do we have a Dude update? Hot breaking news?
Dude is trying to get back in.
Okay. So. Well, let him in. Okay. We'll get Dude back in a second. Meanwhile, if you want to feel old, this year marks the 26th anniversary of the Cher record, Believe. And that was the first record to use autotune. And you remember, because you go, do you believe in life after love?
Right, and they cranked it up so you knew it was autotune.
Autotune, but it didn't exist until she had a fight with her record producer. And I think this is funny. She's going around doing some talk shows now. She said that her producer, his name is Mark Taylor, after every take of singing Believe, he said, if you could just sing it better. And that, I don't know that that's a real helpful item to throw into the singer you're producing. Just sing it better. And she screamed back, F it, I'm doing the best I can. And they both stormed out of the studio without the record being completed. Then this guy, Mark Taylor, calls her back. It wasn't called autotune then. He said, I just got something in called a pitch machine. And it has nothing to do with baseball. And she said, he said, would you like to try singing in the pitch machine? And yes, she came in, she sang that lead, they auto-tuned it, and the result was a number one record. And they asked Cher, she said, don't you think that's amazing? She says, it's not that amazing. It pisses the F out of me. It's just like, what is this? So even though they argued about the pitch machine, it did result in that record, Believe, and really a massive, massive hit. I remember the first time I heard it, and I love it. It's a good record.
Well, and now you hear it all the time.
And I can do my Cher impression for you if you like, Josh.
Of course.
Okay. This is when she was married to Dwayne Allman. I didn't know he was a heroin addict. Thank you. One of Dude's co-workers, Kevin Spacey. Dude was actually on an episode of House of Cards. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, he played the president of the Senate. Kevin Spacey is sad and broke down in tears on the Piers Morgan show because he's bankrupt and has to sell his house in Baltimore. Amazingly, people are still loath to hire him. And I see what's going on here. I think by coming into British media, he's trying to sort of dip his toe back into, hey, are people going to accept me? Can I act again? And right. I don't think he came off very well. He's not done any American media yet, but he is crying poor mouth that he's he said he's gotten close to declaring bankruptcy in the past, but he's always been able to avoid it.
Isn't Piers Morgan American media?
No, but this is the Piers Morgan show in Great Britain.
Oh, I didn't know.
He does stuff over here. Yeah,
I know we've been replaced. Like, they're bringing a lot of British people over to do our news shows and everything.
Yeah, I don't like that either, Josh. I don't like, because remember 1812.
One at a time.
They tried to burn down the White House. I remember this. But anyway, some people are coming to Kevin Spacey's aid. Now, he's never been found guilty of any of the charges, but he certainly has a tarnished career. The people that have come behind him to show support, Sharon Stone and Liam Neeson. So we'll see what happens. But I do feel his appearance in Great Britain to sort of test the waters was not that successful. So we'll keep an eye on that.
No, I know they were living in Annapolis while that House of Cards show was being filmed.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of stories about him and how he interacted with the midshipmen at the bars downtown.
Josh, can you show me on the doll where Kevin Spacey touched him?
I was not a midshipman. I was a little too old for him, apparently.
I don't know. I think you still retain your youthful good looks.
And dude is still trying to get his iPad working. We're doing a full reboot now, so hopefully we'll get him back.
Okay, let me finish up with this story then. Kevin Jonas of the Jonas Brothers actually underwent surgery to remove skin cancer, and he went totally public with it on Instagram. He had a carcinoma, basal cell carcinoma, on his forehead, and they had the removal. It was a minor surgery, but he wanted to make sure that people know that things like that have to be attended to, and if you have a mole, have it looked at. The good news is after the surgery, the mole is doing well and expected to survive and release a forgettable pop song in the near future. So congratulations to Kevin Jonas's mole. And dude is back. There he is. Yay.
Oh, no.
When we come back, we'll talk about text messaging, which has been invaluable in the creation of today's show. So we're going to take a step back, and we'll come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Remember, Mike, he's coming back tomorrow. Dude, look at this.
What?
Hey, see
that's
those?
Hard. Those are playing
the Mike
cards.
O'Mara cards. I bet that you, in your years in radio, your face, your name has been merchandised on many, many things. I'm guessing probably a Frisbee, T-shirts.
It was on me and Joe Theismann were on coffee cups.
Do you still have any of those?
I probably sold them all, but yeah.
Oh, it's sad.
Yeah, I'll look
around.
I
wonder if I called you.
But coffee cups is a great idea. I like that promotion idea.
How about coffee cups with Joe Theismann talking? Anyway, here is the Mike O'Mara Show cards. I personally endorse these. These feel better than any cards you play in a casino. They are beautifully made. They feature Mike and me on the cover and the cards themselves. They are, I love it because they're the Don't Get Happy Society special cards. My daughter designed them based on an idea my son had. My son said, Dad, TMO's cards would be fire. So these make an ideal gift for listeners, for yourself, anyone. They're extraordinarily limited edition, and there are not many left. So please go to TMOSstore.com and pick up the copy of those cards, and we'll be a part of all of your game nights. And you can't lose when Mike and I are looking at you. We have you back.
I apologize for dropping out. I don't know what happened there. It just off it went. So
it happens. It happens. Yeah. We're a magical internet society.
Yeah.
You deal a lot, and I mostly contact you with texts. If like when I wanted to invite you today, I texted you. Are you a frequent texter? Or do you still do the telephone thing?
No, much more than I used to be. And I think I know what this story is about because I seem to remember someone saying it the other day that mm-hmm. people don't like phone calls. And
I can understand why
it slows things down. It requires you to engage much more than people sometimes want to. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to doing business, sometimes they're like, oh God, we're going to talk about the weather for the first 30 seconds. And then how's your mom? And sometimes that's a lot of nice one-on-one, and sometimes can we just get to the story that I have to tell you?
The sort of credo in the world of business with so many young workers now is this could have been an email.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Instead of a whole meeting, they're calling it.
I think it's that it's so invasive that they want to be able, if you send me a text, I can return. I can think about it. I can respond on my terms when I want.
Yeah.
I don't need to have an answer immediately. So you're not putting me on the spot by asking me a question that I have to answer.
That's true, but you don't suffer from what they're calling in the New York Times telephonophobia, are you? You will still take a call if someone calls you, right?
No, but I've done lots of youth ministry with high school kids, and I've seen this over and over and over again.
Really?
It's definitely common with high schoolers a few years ago, and they're now college and in the workplace, so it totally makes sense.
Yeah, my kids, whenever I call them, it's always, what's wrong? Or is everything okay? Because they think that if it's a call, it's going to actually, talk like something's wrong. They are actually hiring now people that are making good money to teach young workers how to talk on the telephone. This is what we've become, that people need lessons in how to talk on the phone.
It's funny, if I do get a phone call, it's either good news or bad news. It's either bad news, like you just lost a contract with so-and-so, or it's good news, you just got a contract with so-and-so. But if it's boilerplate, everyday business, it's text or email, and you just don't ever hear from people.
Yeah.
Now, I found with my kids, they will not answer phone calls when I call them. But if I FaceTime them, they will answer a FaceTime.
I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that. I always, whenever I see a FaceTime, I always assume it's a wrong number or someone hit the wrong button. Because who wants to see that? These phone consultants, dude, are making $195 an hour to teach people how to talk on the phone. And that just makes me think that we've all chosen the wrong career.
I think that's $195 well spent for the Mike O'Mara show. To actually go and get, why don't you get Mike be coached by somebody?
Or just have Mike, for that much money, Mike will take your calls.
Well, yeah, Mike could actually coach you himself. Here's how you do it.
Yeah. Do you need a college degree for that?
No, you don't, as a matter of fact. And you won't. Yeah, you just, all you need is a big place to put stacks of cash. Now, while we're talking text, do you ever get a reply that annoys you or pisses you off?
I think if it's kind of a curt, short reply when you really wanted one that was a little longer. I mean, if it's just a thumbs up emoji, what did you mean by that?
I don't like K or KK for okay. It's like that is the least, 1K is the least committal of any reply you can get, I think, on a text.
I'll say what I don't like is we have a show group chat.
Yeah.
And if every text message that gets sent gets the little like icon,
or the heart,
so I get notified for everything because I just assume you got the text since I sent it. I don't always need the little notice.
Well, our fearless leader likes confirmation sometimes, so I will try to back off on that. But they say there was a study and a survey. The worst thing you can get back when you send a text is the one word "sure," with no punctuation. Sure. They see it as passive-aggressive because it's not like an actual yes and it's not like a no. It's like, do you want to go to the movies? Sure. But I think that's more on the...
That's a young person thing.
I think
they've changed the dialogue they've changed the meaning of sure.
But I think that sure also, it's more indicative of the person that sent it and got the reply. They want, it's like dude said, you want something more than just sure. you know, commit to it. But I don't know that I'd be that bothered with Shore.
Yeah, I mean, and they're overthinking it. I just think so. Sometimes a word's just a word.
Yeah, but I like that people have the time to really, really think it through and make it into a problem. You know, sure. Dude, do you want to do the TMOS show? Sure.
Yeah. What kind of microphone do you want? Sure. You know. That was a microphone joke only for Rob.
And you know what? It landed squarely, and Rob loved it. All right, so be polite on text and send pictures. I like to get pictures via text, but not a picture that says sure, I guess. I would like I'm addicted to voice to text, which oftentimes can make me look like an idiot. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't review it, it hears things wrong. Like today, I sent a message to my son, who is in my phone, pardon me, as Robert W. Spiewak III. And the only text went through was the word third with an exclamation point. And he replied, "What up?" He thought I was giving him a cool nickname, but it wasn't the case. So, do you use the voice to text ever?
Oh, no, because, I use my voice enough for commercial purposes. I don't want to use it for communication.
Don't give it away, dude. Come on.
That's what I'm thinking.
Don't give it away. All right, we have got a wonderful flip side for you today and lots of good videos for everyone to watch. So stick around for that. I want to thank Dude Walker for sitting in today and helping us out while Mike is having his elective plastic surgery. He will be back tomorrow. Flip side on the other side of this, and we will be right back. All right. In a world filled with distractions, finding focus can feel like an impossible task. Introducing Magic Mind, the mental performance shot that revolutionizes productivity. Let me see if I can read this right. From mushroom nootropics, adaptogens, and essential vitamins, Magic Mind helps keep you stay focused, clear, and productive. I'm on it right now. I take it every morning. It is delicious. I've said before, it tastes like a grapefruit juice with ginger in it. It's wonderful. It's created with precision and care with organic ingredients, time-released caffeine, which is awesome because you don't get that crash. It sort of spreads itself out, and stress-reducing herbs. It's the key to unlocking your full potential. Plus, with a risk-free guarantee, it's never been easier to experience the magic for yourself. Unlock your full potential with Magic Mind. Now, right now, there is a limited time offer that gets you up to 48% off your first subscription or 20% off one-time purchases with the code TMOS at checkout. Claim it at magicmind.com/TMOS. And now, here is my daughter.
Hello.
The flip side. Dude, when you took your union-mandated break there, that you had appeared on the show House of Cards.
Did you just flip me because of the flip side? Is that why I'm over?
I don't know. I think it's something Josh did.
I'm over here now.
He's over there now.
You were going to say something about House of Cards. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I'm over here now.
You were on House of Cards before Kevin Spacey became disgraced.
Yes.
And I actually, can we go to the clip here as you as the president of the Senate?
The nomination of Claire Underwood of Washington, D.C. to be the representative of the United States of America to the United Nations. Yeas and nays have been ordered, and the clerk will call the roll.
That shot was shot in Annapolis? Was that in Annapolis where that was shot?
Wow. I did not, where'd you get that clip? I don't even have myself. That's kind of cool.
Dude, it's on TV.
No, that was it. I know, yeah. But I can't.
I used a videotape. Yeah. I'll send you the clip.
No, that was actually, they had a production facility. Oz may know where this is, north of Baltimore, near the White Marsh area, up that way. And they had a whole facility up there that a big soundstage they built. So it was not
because it really did look like the Senate chamber. That had to be a pretty cool stage to walk into.
It was. Matter of fact, it's they say when they build these things, they're actually better than using the real one because the real ones are kind of small. This thing was huge because you had all the room for all the cameras to track. So it was a great looking place, I must admit.
Yeah, it's very cool. And Kevin Spacey, he didn't do anything to you.
No, he did not. Although I did see him shoot a scene. It's, you know, you think these things are done very techno. That he did a scene with somebody in a hallway, and he just stood in a corner next to something, and it was a microphone guy and a camera guy, and then he did his scene right there, and that was it.
Wow!
I expected I expected these great big productions, but that's not the way it's done anymore.
Yeah, I haven't watched the show since it aired, but I did like the show, and I always felt that it had a real DC feel to it. I thought they captured it well. Everyone loves and is talking about artificial intelligence, and it's really getting into the music industry now, and most of the stuff is terrible and forgettable, and I don't need to hear Frank Sinatra's fake voice singing Nirvana. However, sometimes they land on something good. This one was so effective that... Diddy and 50 Cent have both embraced it. This is Conway Twitty singing a 50 Cent record, and they're calling it Conway Diddy. To hear it. Did you ever play? You never worked at a country station, did you?
No, but I did. I remember Conway. What was the name of that song that it was big for?
Tight Fitting Jeans?
No. He had another
Hello,
one.
Darling?
Hello, darling.
Yeah. This is Conway. This is one of his other crossover hits that is tight-fitting jeans, but it's also Into House.
Full of bub. I'm into having sex. I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug if you're into getting rough. Go shoddy. It's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday.
Go shoddy. It's your birthday. But isn't that amazing that they can recreate the voice of Conway Twitty, which is not that incredible, I guess, but putting it so it works with those lyrics is crazy. I love stuff like that.
Love it.
One of these days, you should AI yourself, and then you wouldn't even have to work.
Does anybody really want an AI dude? I don't think so.
Okay, well, we'll talk.
All those
we'll
podcasters. Talk.
They would. Yeah, you could just send them a link.
Yep. That could happen.
Have you ever had your carry-on luggage opened and something embarrassing being found at an airport?
Yeah, my shotgun microphone.
That's probably pretty common for you. Yeah, when I was traveling back and forth to New York, we used to have a sound effects machine called an instant replay, and they always wanted to know what it was because they always said the same thing. That's not a laptop. I said, that's right. It's not a laptop. It's a hard drive. Okay, well, we're going to have to look at it. Well, let's say you're vacationing, as people do, in Austin, Minnesota. Now, Austin, Minnesota is the home of anybody? The Spam Corporation. That's where they make the Spam. Hormel's factory is there. And this guy was coming back home, and he loaded up on Spam. And this is him with the security agents at the airport. And he has a lot of Spam with him.
When TSA pulls your carry-on and it's all Spam.
So it's a case of Spam that I'm taking.
So he's got this carry-on bag. He opens it up.
Wait.
I'm so embarrassed.
It would have to be heavy.
Not like regular flavor, right? No, they're like the special flavors. Wow. So he went to the...
That's the best one.
There's a bag of Spam.
I got the Hawaii special edition in there. Why I got a teriyaki. And they're all laughing at that.
The cans keep coming like it's a magic trick.
Yeah.
No, they don't have any of these here. So
I know. There's a teriyaki one in there that's pretty good. So I'm excited.
About 10 pounds of Spam there. He was, pardon me. He was, he said, well, to be fair, they were the flavors you can't get just anywhere.
Oh,
the special flavors of Spam.
Teriyaki. So
teriyaki. Yeah, not really high on my list. Also, while we're talking about airlines, this is a new hack that is going around the socials, and this guy was caught and escorted off the plane, so he might not want to try it. You get your carry-on bags get weighed, and if you exceed a certain amount of weight, you have to pay or for an extra bag. So this guy said, is it okay if I bring a pillow on the flight for sleeping? And they say, of course. Well, his pillow was full of shoes and clothes and personal effects, so it really wasn't a pillow.
To take in a pillowcase full of clothing and other items, which he is stating was simply just a pillowcase, and the dude was like, bro, everybody can see it's not a freaking pillow. Like, come on.
I think the shoes would probably be the biggest clue.
Yeah, that's I think the you most get away with that.
That's the most famous use of "that's not a pillow" since Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
It's true. And he got escorted off. I don't know if I kind of call him clever or stupid or gutsy. I don't even know what's going on with that.
It's people reacting to how ridiculous airline travel has become with charging you for every little thing.
Yeah, but you got to stick to the rules, don't you?
Yeah, but at what point does a pillow become a pillow?
I don't know. Sometimes it's just a cigar. Here is a presenter from the BBC, and I love the fact that she takes ownership of the fact that she misread the teleprompter, and she deals with it on the air and then makes light of it. This lady is great.
To address that, we'll be dipping in and out of that conference throughout the day here on BBC News, I'm sure. Now, they are known for their big eyes and for being famously sleepy. Am I talking about myself here? No. But over the last 20 years, the number of hazel dormice, yes, hazel dormice, has declined by as much as 70% across the UK. It's hoped a new project, which sees them re-released into their natural habit, could help to restore the population.
She
Is it habit
it.
Or habitat?
She caught the wrong
I'm probably
going
to get emails about this. Well, it's habit on the auto cue, so what can I say? Nicola Hassler has more. I'm Ron Burgundy. Very sweet.
And now she
I, of
pays
course,
it off.
Meant to say habitat, but habit was written on the auto cue, which just shows you that I just read whatever is written in front of me, clearly. Anyway, look, let's talk. Now,
I think that's the way to handle it. I mean, you're not going to get over it. Habit. The old joke. I don't want to know what his habits are, where he has habits at. But I love the fact that she was right away ready with the Ron Burgundy reference. And for people in the chat room, Spam is spiced ham. That's how they got the name. And if you go to, where is it? Austin, Minnesota, you can really load up on it, I'm sure. Now, our final tape today. This is fun. It's never too late, dude. I know we were talking about our long and storied careers, but know this. It's never too late. Even a 97-year-old can still get her diploma.
It is never too late. That is this grandma's message. She's a good reminder, even if you don't accomplish your goal in the time frame you wanted, doesn't mean you can't eventually get there.
Did I put it on right?
For some.
Yep, there you go.
It's one of our earliest milestones.
Class of 2024.
One of the first uniforms we put on in life. These symbols are known for acknowledging years of studying, tests, grades. But for Catherine Cole.
This is what I've been wanting all my life.
They recognize a lifetime of hard work.
Oh, it's never too late to learn.
So the 97-year-old got her diploma finally. When asked why she waited so long, she was waiting for her kids to die. So that's she was one credit short because her grandfather passed away on the last day of exams in 1940 something, and it took her this long to go back and take one final. So I don't know if the message there is it's never too late or get off your ass, Granny, and go do it.
Right. Now she can go to college in the fall.
VCU would be perfect for her. Hip, young environment, sitcom all over it. Dude, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for being here.
I loved it. It was great. Thank you so much.
Do you have anything to plug or anything to say or a shout out for anybody?
Oh, I wish I'd thought this over. I can't think of anything to plug, really.
We already know not to go to your YouTube page. We can go to dudewalker.com.
You could go to dudewalker.com, and it has also not been updated in a long time. So my agent is not happy with the fact that I refuse to get current, you know. I don't know. Go to South Dakota. I'm the voice of tourism for South Dakota. So the more people that go to South Dakota, the more it appears that my commercial got them in there. So
that is
one of my big clients, South Dakota.
Not the plug I expected, but one that I love.
Yeah, go to
Mike
South
Romero
Dakota.
Will be back tomorrow. I didn't mention this, dude. He's getting his surgery done in South Dakota. Which is nice. So, we will be back tomorrow. And until then, for Mike O'Mara and Josh and Dude Walker, it's Rob Spiewak saying so long, everybody.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
God damn it.